The following program is sponsored by Linda's Construction. This is the WCCO Home Improvement Show, brought to you by Linda's Construction. One call, one contractor. Linda's Construction provides Minnesota and Wisconsin with the best products and workmanship. They provide leaf guard gutters, asphalt roofing, metal roofing, season guard replacement windows, exterior siding, remodeling, new construction, and more. If you've got questions, they've got answers this hour. Here's Denny Long and Andy Lindis.
On this chilly Saturday, 1 degree below zero, light snow, fog, mist reported in the Twin Cities. Let's say good morning to Andy Lindis. Andy, how are you today?
I am fantastic. You?
I am too. As long as I'm inside and have the layers on, I'll be just fine. It's going to be chilly this coming week, and I know that you guys at Lindis are going to be getting a lot of calls about drafty homes, insulation, things like that. Am I right?
Yeah, it already started this week. Insulation, windows from my front door leaks. I feel air coming through my outlets. Those are calls that we received a lot of all week long. And just looking at what my estimators are going to be doing next week, the vast majority of it is looking in people's attics. If I bet you we're going to be in, I don't know, close to 200 attics over the next 2 weeks, it looks like.
Wow.
And it's just nature of the beast this time of year. When we get this cold weather, people really start to feel what's going on in their homes, and some of the things that we discover are pretty alarming.
Well, you know, you mentioned in the past, and you certainly have done it in my house, but what is the blower door test, that whatever kind of test you call it, you're saying this is a good time of year to do it because it's so cold. You can really see any contrast, right?
Yeah. In fact, a lot of times you don't really even need the blower door because there's such a big difference in the temperature of the outside of the house and what's inside the house, that with the infrared imaging and just being able to, because when it gets this cold, that stack effect where it starts to pull the air from the actual foundation of the house up to the attic through the walls, so you're able to feel those drafts even without a lot of the times the blower door, and just getting in the attic and looking around what's going on in there, we're finding some fun stuff that really should be fixed.
Wow. All right, if you have any kind of a home improvement question for Andy Lindis, call us or text us, 651-989-9226. Or send a text, 81807. Well, I think about the crews you have, and you have many crews doing various jobs. But, boy, when I'm looking at that forecast and overnight lows in the low to mid-20s below zero, that really affects working conditions. I'm stating the obvious, but that's got to be tough on the crews.
It is, and I know I did have some crews out and about yesterday working. Some of them we sent home, and some of them we brought over to my house. I had, I think, at one point, 8 guys working in my garage because it was too cold to work on their projects outside, so I had them doing some stuff at my house. So we got a lot done yesterday at my house, so it worked out for me, but we can't have very many weeks of this. We're going to get farther behind. We've been blessed so far, Denny. This winter
true.
Has been as good as we've had in a while in order to get stuff done outside. So we can't be too upset over 1 week of really cold weather. And hopefully it looks like by the end of the week it starts to turn around. And the following week we'll be back at it.
It looks like, speaking of which, by Friday we'll be back to above zero for daytime highs, like 11 above, and maybe the week or weeks beyond. But we've been kind of spoiled, let's face it, with as far as temperatures go.
Yeah, it's been a good winter, but we'll take it. With our lead times and where we were, we needed this type of winter. So hopefully this cold doesn't last too long.
When your crews get out to take a look at these attics, like you said, you'll be visiting many more. Are even newer homes, just say homes built in the last 5 or 10 years, have you ever seen many of those that need better insulation?
Yeah, you know, maybe not. Not so much ones that have been built in the last 5 years,
yeah,
but in that last real boom of new construction, where it just seemed like every field on the outskirts of the metro area or small town western Wisconsin was just turning into homes, and they were just popping up all over the place. I've been in a few of them that I'm like, I don't even know how this passed inspection. It's a 12-year-old home. It's got 1.5 inches of insulation, or it's got 6 inches on one side and 2 inches on the other. No attic chutes. It's just been, we don't run into it very often, but for someone that a house that's 10 years old it can be kind of alarming.
651-989-9226. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, call it in. Or if it's easier, send a text, 81807-81807. Texter wants to know, how do we handle small vertical cracks in the living room wall? In the living room walls, I guess there's more than one. A house is 50-year-old rambler. Don't want to just paint over it.
Is it a 50 years old? It's probably not a plaster wall, more than likely a drywall wall.
Probably, yeah. Sometimes those cracks keep reappearing, even though you mud them up and sand them down and all of that. Isn't that true?
Yeah, it's true more often than not. Mm. And I would maybe try it on one wall, see if they reappear. And you can go and you can mud them, you can sand them, prime, paint, and you go through all of that on the entire house, and all of a sudden next year those cracks start coming back. People tend to get pretty upset over it. So maybe just go after ones that are really an eyesore and see if they're going to come back. Maybe if they're reappearing or they're appearing still right now, chances are there's something else going on in your house. You might want to address that first, but I without getting there and seeing exactly what is going on, it'd be really tough for me to say over the radio, but I would at least just try one area and see if it comes back or doesn't come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes they're pretty persistent in returning. 651-989-9226, text 81807. And speaking of insulation, I know it's very hard to give any kind of a ballpark figure in how much removing blown-in attic insulation. You got to know the size of the house, the mm-hmm. you know, what do they want, blown-in, they want foam, all of that. But it does, and this brings the question to mind about financing. Any kind of remodeling or insulating, Lindis has these finance programs, right? We talk about that once in a while, right?
Yeah, we have very low-interest, long-term programs available. We have some no-interest programs available. Really, we have a program available to fit almost any budget. So we're very, very lucky to work with some awesome manufacturers that have given us the hookup with some really nice banks to work with. It's a very easy process. The approval process is 30 to 60 seconds long. So it really doesn't take a lot of time. And you get to use other people's money to get your house all fixed up. And on some occasions, you're really seeing a big payback on this. Say it's costing you $80 a month, and we're saving you $30 a month, so it's really only costing you $50 a month.
True.
To do the insulation in your house. And as far as average cost of insulation jobs go, this week I saw insulation jobs come through as low as $1,500, but then I did see one that was pushing $30,000 worth of insulation. But there's some other things that we're doing there, some drywall repair. It is a complete taking out all of the insulation, building an access. There's all new chutes that have to go in.
It's a bigger job.
It is a bigger job. One of the attics we're in this week, Denny, I haven't seen this many animal droppings in an attic in a very long time. And we talk about that stack effect happening in the wintertime an awful lot, because this is when people normally feel it, because it's pulling air from your foundation up your walls into your attic. Well, the exact opposite happens in the summertime when it's really warm out, when your attic can be, I don't know, 140 degrees in there when it's hot outside. So your house actually starts to pull air from your attic down your walls, and now you're pulling all of that gunk, that bad air, that animal-dropping air down into your home. And I'd be more worried about that than the cold air that comes in the wintertime, to be honest with you.
Does the spray foam and other insulation, like you guys have done to my house several years ago, does that help with I'm just sealing up wherever you found a problem with a person's home? Does that won't eliminate necessarily the rodents, but it might help, right?
Oh, it's going to help immensely. And then couple that with, if you really have a rodent problem, we tend to lean on cellulose, because the fire retardant that goes into cellulose, actually the rodents really don't like it at all. Compared to fiberglass, if I'm in an attic that has a bad rodent problem, usually it's a fiberglass attic. I don't know. They just love that stuff. It's like little bedding for them. There's the tunnel systems and stuff that they can make in a fiberglass. It's they do a lot of damage. Even mice. You don't need to have squirrels and raccoons like I ran into this week. It's mice can do enough damage.
Huge, yeah. And cars, too, for that matter. We talk about that. I'll tell you what, Andy, hang on. We're going to take a bit of a break here. I want to mention, too, if you do have any kind of a home improvement question, call it in or text it in. There is one line open if you want to fill it. 651-989-9226 or send Andy a text at 81807. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our home improvement show presented every week by our friends at Lindis Construction. Andy Lindis with us again today. And if you want to ask Andy your question, call it in, 651-989-9226 or send a text, 81807. Andy, let's go back to the phones. Bernie is calling in from Fridley, I believe. Bernie, you're on with Andy.
I got a question. I live in a Rambler, and we're looking to expand our kitchen, and it has a load-bearing wall. Now, have you guys have ever put the beam inside the attic, and what concerns do you look for?
Yeah, we've done this on a...
So the ceiling can be flat.
Yep, we've done this on numerous occasions, and sometimes you can get a beam... specifically made that can go up into the ceiling. You're not going to have to go all the way up into the attic. It's going to be, so this is on like a main floor. There's a second floor above this or just attic up above this?
Yep. Sorry, go ahead. Bernie, we missed that answer.
Oh, the main floor.
Yeah. The biggest worry that you have on when you're doing this is when you're removing the load-bearing wall, or like the last project we were at, there was like a larger beam, so there's like a fake soffit built around it. And when we removed that beam to make a smaller beam up in the attic so we can make that, or up into the actual floor space so we can make that a flat ceiling, we had to build a false wall on both sides of this. And you just need to make sure that this false wall is put in the right spot, because when you take that beam out, the house can move, or take that load-bearing wall out, the house can move substantially. And just it is a worry, but it's a very doable thing. The technology nowadays and what they build and what we can do, it's where there's a will, we can usually find a way to make that kitchen a nice open kitchen without any crazy beams coming down wrecking your line of sight. But it is a worry that we have when we do projects like this, but it's a very doable thing. And you just got to be make sure that it's not your first time doing it, because I have seen some things go bad. For instance, say the false walls weren't built the right way. Maybe they didn't get up tight enough or weren't in the right spot. I can't remember exactly what happened on this one, but when the old beam was removed, the upstairs doors in the bedrooms wouldn't close anymore.
Wow,
that's how much the house moved, and now you're in a whole different type of project. It can add a couple 3 days to figure those types of things out.
Wow, good luck, Bernie. But it's good news these days with ways around that issue.
Yes.
All right, Andy. Mary is calling in from Princeton, I believe. Mary, you're on with Andy.
Hi, Andy.
Sure. Hey, how are you?
How are you guys? Listen, I gotta replace two windows. Anyway, I live on the lake on the east side, so the prevailing wind is the west-northwest wind.
Mm-hmm.
What is a double-hung window best, or what is the best kind of window to replace it so it's airtight or more airtight?
Well, our casement windows are usually going to
I can't hear you, Andy.
I'm sorry. Our casement windows?
It's yes. The casement window, those are the most efficient, aren't they, Andy? Or at least one of them.
Okay. Yeah, and that's what some people refer to as a crank-out window. But yeah, with the seal on those and the locking system that pulls them tight to the frame, they have a very good air infiltration rating. Our double-hung windows by Season Guard have a very good air infiltration rating. But what type of windows are in there now?
Marvin, double-hung thermal pane.
How old are they?
Well, to back up, a tree several years back fell on it and just sort of did some type of damage to it, that it's loosened up.
But you don't know how old the window is.
Oh, a good 20.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. You know, what I would recommend is have one of my guys come out, and we'll take a look at that exact area, give you some options, and we can talk about the air infiltration rating. But I'm telling you, once we're done installing a window, whether that's our Infinity window by Marvin or our Season Guard window or really any of the other windows that we would recommend, you're not going to notice any more air coming through there. That is for sure.
That's good.
Outside of slider windows, sliders, even the sliders that I sell, those tend to leak more air than the other styles of windows. So if it really is a worry, I would stay away from a slider window.
And maybe go for a casement, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Mary. If you want to get in touch with Linda, 1-800-LEAF-GUARD. Easiest number to remember. When we come back, another half hour of the Home Improvement Show presented by Linda's Construction. Here on News Talk 830 WCZO. And good morning. Welcome back to our Home Improvement Show brought to us by Linda's Construction. I don't think I've spelled it yet. L-I-N-D-U-S. Andy Lindus helping you out today. Andy, we have a bunch of text messages. I want to clear the lines, too. If you have a home improvement question, you want to call it in, 651-989-9226. Text number is 81807. There is a concrete garage floor question that I know you and I always refer to the good folks at Semstone, but maybe you have an answer for this. There's a in between the texture's cement garage floor and apron, there's a gap of material which has deteriorated. Is there a way to fix it? I've never had to do that, but.
I've never had to do that personally, but I do know there are sealants and things at Semstone that you can buy. So there's a filler that you put in there, and then there's a sealant that you can get that goes over that crack that's going to reseal that up, make sure no water or anything is going to get in there, because that's what's probably happening, why it's deteriorated. Water's got into that crack. It's usually like some type of built right that was in there. Water got in there, it freezes, it expands, and it wears on that material, and then eventually it goes away. And if it's not addressed, sometimes that can lead to settling of the apron. And then you got to give our good buddy Jesse Treble a call and have his company come out and do their patented foam jacking and get your apron back up to where it should be, and then seal the crack off.
Yeah. But get in touch if you want to be sure. Just call Semstone, C-E-M-S-T-O-N-A, Semstone.
There you go.
Texter, by the way, text number is 81807. Andy, a texter says we need to refinish our deck, something you don't have to do anymore for sure.
Nope.
And fence as well this year, and are a little worried about the process. We did it originally, and it did not turn out to look great. We had used, they said, a chemical prior to putting the stain down, but it turned everything splotchy. Mm-hmm. In other parts, we used a power washer, and the setting was too high and marred the wood. So could you just offer a brief overview of how to best strip the old finish and put on a new one this coming spring?
Well, it's going to take some work, but sanding that deck is probably the best way to go to make that wood look like it was the day that it was installed. In fact, I think it's going to look, usually looks better when we do this.
Yeah.
Because the wood develops some character over the years. So if I'm refinishing a deck and it's really bad, I don't like to use pressure washers. It just seems like it takes too long, and when you get impatient, you crank up the velocity, and then now you can basically, you know, carve the wood with your pressure washer, and that's not what you want to do. I've had good luck with the Behr stripper. That's Behr, B-E-H-R.
Yeah, I remember using that. Yeah.
That stuff worked really well for me. But I was very diligent about watering down all the plants and everything around it, and I did it in small spots. But the ones that we've done where we refinished and sanded that deck, and then we take a brightener and conditioner over the top of the deck again. You just follow the directions on it. What that does is it opens the pores of the wood back up. Sometimes when you sand it, you're creating heat, and that can seal off the wood so it doesn't take any of the stain as much as you would want it to. So after you sand it all off, you add a brightener conditioner to it. Follow the directions, usually 24 hours, let the wood dry out, and then attack it with a good oil-based stain. There's lots of them that make a really nice oil-based stain. Cabot has some good stuff. Of course, we always recommend Penofin. I've used Sickens in the past, all of those are really good oil-based stands that you might be able to get 3 to 4 years. What I like about our Penifin, say 3 to 4 years down the road, it's not looking so good, you just wash it and reapply. But follow the directions. Do not put too much on. Make sure you're wiping off all of the excess.
But you said it first, to be, you know, I think the best job, you're right, sand it. Mm-hmm. I know it's more work. You can hire it done too, right? I mean, there are people that sand floors, deck floors.
I mean, there is, and there's rental machines you can get on a bigger, or like a floor sander that you can try, but usually the decks are small enough. A hand sander is going to go a long ways, and when you factor in all of the other things and steps you take to get the old finish off, we're not talking about a ton more time, maybe a few hours more on a typical deck to really get it done the right way.
Yeah, and it makes such a world of difference.
Yeah.
651-989-9226 or send a text 81807. Let's see here. AC question. It's a 60 split level home. There's a split AC unit, a blower in the attic. Condenser leaks Freon, needs replacement. The repairman said without checking would need to replace the unit in the attic. He said, quote, nobody will go up there unless you build a catwalk and safely a safety railing, etc., in your attic. Access is smaller, Texter says, but a 225-pound medium build person fits now. Do I have to do anything to prep for a repairman? Also, no problem with the blower or thermostat, just condenser is older and leaks. Couldn't we just replace that? They want to know.
I would definitely get another repairman or AC person out to your house, an HVAC guy out to your house. Did I hear that right? They didn't even look at it, Denny?
No. I take it from the text, did not even go up there.
Are there safety concerns when you're moving that and doing stuff like that in the attic? And can you build a temporary catwalk and things of that nature? Yes. But the HVAC guys I know will be able to get up in your attic without building that catwalk to at least inspect it to find out what is going on. So I would start with another HVAC company and go from there. But it sounds, maybe I'm not getting the whole picture, or we're only hearing one side of it here, but it sounds like it was a guy that didn't want to do that day.
I take that. I agree with you. What do you do? Texter says, if rodent droppings are found in the attic or walls, do you replace the insulation? You spray foam? What do you do in that case? Well, I think maybe you best find a pest control person first. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, it really depends on, to be honest with you, it's, if you look hard enough in most attics here in the Twin Cities, you're going to find some type of rodent droppings. Typically anyways. Now, it depends on how bad it is. Like on the one I was talking about earlier. Yeah, that is a complete suck out. Get a pest control person over. Try to eliminate all of that problem before we put any new insulation in. And the new insulation that we put in is going to be that spray foam where it's going to seal everything up, and then cellulose over the top, which has that, like I said, that fire retardant in it that rodents just typically don't like. Every now and then, Denny, you're talking about a product called Mouse Magic, which is what I always called like the peppermint pillows. In the wintertime, you know, I have fiberglass in my attic that we put in there, I don't know, 20 years ago. And the squirrels I did have a squirrel issue at once where they just opened up a hole in my soffit and got in there. And every fall, I open up my attic space and just to be on the safe side, because it seems like when those acorns start falling, they just want to hide that stuff everywhere, or it gets really cold out. The mice come from the field into the house. So I spend a good chunk of money on that Mouse Magic stuff every fall, and I go up there and just start throwing them in all corners of my attic and all over the place. And anything I store in the wintertime that I'm not going to be in, those get in there as well. And I've had really good luck with that. But this spring, when we get a chance, all that fiberglass is coming out of there, and cellulose will be replaced.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, if you want to send Andy your home improvement question by text, 81807. Let's go back to the text messages, Andy. In July, Texter says, I purchased a home built in 1983 that has a humidifier on the furnace. No one had lived in the home for several years. Texter says, I've had the ducts cleaned. When the house was inspected, they said they don't recommend using the humidifier. With it being so cold, I'm tempted to use it. I did buy a new filter for it. What would you recommend?
The reason why they're saying don't use it is because people use it improperly, usually. A common one we see in people's houses is called that old April air system.
Oh, yeah.
And some people didn't even know they had it, and they're wondering why they're having so many moisture issues, and it's 10 degrees outside, and they have a relative humidity inside the house of 65%. That's not a good recipe for success when it comes to things frosting up, condensation issues. I've seen crazy mold in the attic to some of this. I was in an attic last year. It was just raining. That was more of a ventilation issue, but the April air system was bringing that much moisture into the house. It was. It is a worry, and you can use it, but I would try to set it on a humidistat or with a humidistat. So typically when it's this cold outside, you want your humidity under 30%, under 25% in your house. I know, and that's what I think. I'm going to add the humidity to the air, and it's just going to make my house that much more comfortable. I would turn the furnace up before I added humidity to the house in the wintertime. I've just seen way too many problems with those types of systems to really say, yes, use them, because more often than not, at least maybe – I might be a little bit jaded because if I'm going out to the house, it's usually because there is an issue, something bad happened. So maybe the only time I ever come into contact with these is like worst case scenario. But I've seen some really bad things happen, mold and rot, and it's just not a – I'm not a fan of those systems.
I'm in agreement with you. I remember we moved into the house years ago. It had one of those things on it, but it we finally over the years got rid of it, especially when we went to a different furnace system. Or high efficiency, because you're right. They can start spewing mold spores all over the place. You know, you don't want that, for sure, among other things. You know, we need to do a quick break, Andy, and then we'll have more show. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, call Andy with it at 651-989-9226 or send Andy a text at 81807. Again, the text number is 81807. And welcome back to our home improvement show. Denny Long here with Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction. 1-800-LEAFGUARD if you want to get in touch with the good folks there, whether you need some insulation or maybe remodeling or maybe some new windows. Speaking of windows, again, I know we've said it in years past on shows past, but you and your crew, Lindis that is, installs windows year-round, right? I mean, I know we're talking frigid temps coming up, but you'll be working for the most part, 52 weeks a year almost.
For the most part, there might be 2 days this upcoming week where even my window crews don't do a lot. But we have plenty of other things to do to keep us busy. Just worry about how we're going to seal up the outside. Some materials just don't work well when it gets that cold. When you're dealing with glues and caulking and spray foam don't get me wrong. Pretty much no matter the temperature, there's a way to do what we need to do if we have to. Emergency stuff happens and we work our way over it. Just sometimes it takes a lot longer than it would in normal weather. But it's a pretty rare occasion. Tuesday, Wednesday this week will probably be the only 2 days, would be my guess, that my window installers don't work.
And I don't blame them. Not with 25 below.
It is just stuff breaks and you're going into That's fiberglass true. Or aluminum or vinyl or anything like that. And you're dealing with the old siding on the house and you have to cut it and it's brittle and it breaks and ended up, it's. Working in weather like this is usually when jobs end up costing me more money than I got paid to do them because something bad happens. And so we've learned our lesson over the years, and it gets that cold, we have to be patient.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of windows, I know there's a deal on labor installation, right?
There is. 75% off installation labor on our Season Guard windows or our Infinity windows by Marvin, both of which you can see at our lovely home show booth at US Bank Stadium right now. So if it's too cold to do anything else outside, head over to U.S. Bank and check out the home show.
That's going on this weekend.
It is.
All right. By the way, text number 81807, or if you want to get in touch with Linda's, if you can't make it to the show, 1-800-LEAF-GUARD. All right, here's a text, Andy. It says, we're finishing my son's basement, the stud walls on the perimeter with fiberglass insulation. Now, the building inspector tells us not to use a vapor barrier. His opinion is that it will trap moisture in the wall. We're putting in a bathroom as well. Texter says, this doesn't sound like a good idea to me. We were thinking we should put one in. What do you think?
See, I was having this discussion last night in the basement, and I'm not for a vapor barrier in the basement there. I'm with the inspector on this one. So I would trust the building inspector and go that route.
Now, we've had some comments about that HVAC, you know, with the attic that we were talking about earlier. And another tech said they must replace both indoor and outdoor units. HVAC tech here do not need to go into the attic to know that the unit needs to be replaced. If the unit has runs on the old 22, the R22, it will definitely need to be replaced, not compatible with the new condensing unit. So we got smart listeners out there that know.
Knew we
stuff.
Would.
Yeah. 651-989-9226. If you have a home improvement question, you want to call it in and talk to Andy, or send Andy a text, 81807. What can we do, Texter says, with our sewer vents freezing shut on our roof? We've put the black tape on them to absorb the heat from the sun, and they still freeze. Have you ever seen that, Andy?
I have seen that, and we've painted them before to try to keep them open and up. The problem is inside the attic sometimes, if it's a longer space that vent is running, that tube is running, that sometimes that can get cold too, so you're getting just the overall temperature in the attic is freezing that up. So insulating it inside the attic can go a long ways. I've also have a customer that tried this. They went and got a larger PVC pipe and went around the outside of the vent coming up through their attic and then spray foamed between the two. So you basically have a larger pipe with an inch of spray foam between that and your actual vent. And that, as far as I know, has never frozen up since. So might be something to try if it really is an issue. But typically getting in the attic and insulating it there can go a long ways as well.
We were talking about humidifying a home. And a texter wants to know, how do you, Andy, recommend humidifying your home?
Well, me, I run a humidifier a few times a year in one of my kids' rooms when they're not feeling well. And it's just one of them little standalone units that runs the, you know, the Vicks or whatever in there, and sure. They got a cold. We put that in the room, and that's the only time I actually run a humidifier. But it's me, my wife, our three kids, and three canines, so there's plenty of moisture usually going on in the house between the showers and the cooking and just the dogs running around everywhere. It's I've never thought, I'm like, yeah, we know what we're missing here is a humidifier. So me personally, I've never ran one in my house, and I don't see that happening, and I'm pretty sure no one in my family actually does. And I have a humidistat, and right now it's at about 27%.
Okay.
Which is just fine for this time of year.
All right. Very good. Let's go back to the phones, Andy. Jason's calling in from Oakdale, I believe. Jason, you're on with Andy.
Hi. Hey, I have a house in Oakdale from the built in 1950, and when I peel up the linoleum on the basement floor, it's got this black tar mastic that's just impossible to deal with. What do you suggest?
A diamond grinding blade.
That's true, just like they use for garage floors when they're prepping, right?
Yeah, it's going to create a ton of dust. Now, there are chemicals you can get as well that you can put on that will dissolve that and make it very easy to come up. I can't remember the name of the chemical off the top of my head, but just make sure you have the proper ventilation or respirator that you're wearing. Some of that stuff can be pretty harmful. And if you can open up any windows while you're doing it, I would do that and just make sure everything else is sealed off. But I know, I can't remember the name of the chemical, but I've been there and watched it work where it was put on there and then scraped up. There is something that works that way. I just can't remember the name of it. I'm sure if I were to go on the old search engine, we could probably find it and get it delivered to your house.
Now, Andy, you have to say you and your family are into hockey is an understatement. But you had that epoxy, some kind of an epoxy, put on your basement floor, right, years ago?
Yes.
Did they had to prep that first too? I would imagine.
Yes. No. Anytime we're putting epoxy on, it's just you know how like when we refinish a deck, we say we want to add that brightener and conditioner to open up the pores of this of the wood. Same thing with the cement. You're getting off that top layer, and cement is a porous material as a whole. But you're starting with a fresh surface. This is something that you want to last forever, and when done right, and you take the proper amounts in the or proper steps in the prep work, you're going to have a much better, longer lasting product. Whether you're refinishing a wall, a deck, a basement floor, it's the prep work is more important or just as important as the material that you're putting on it to finish it.
I agree.
And it goes a long ways. But yeah, I'm a decade into that epoxy floor, and it looks like the day it was installed.
Wow.
I'm just absolutely in love with it. In fact, even the epoxy floor that we put in the bathroom over the top of the wood that's made to look like marble, that looks like the day it was installed.
How about that? And you've shot a few hockey pucks through there too, haven't you?
Just a few.
Okay, Andy, yep. We're just about out of time. I'll tell you what, yeah, I don't want to ask another question because we'll run over. So let's do this. If you need some new windows, give the Lindus a call because what is it, 75% off installation labor? Wow.
Yeah, 75% off installation labor on Season Guard windows or Infinity Windows by Marvin, and a free heat map analysis with infrared imaging of your entire house. If you want us to come out and take a look at your attic, your basement, whatever. Again, every idea that we come up with to make your house more comfortable, it's free. There is no cost to have us come out and take a look at these things. It's whether you want to see what each individual window costs or what different types of insulation costs, we can price things out 15 different ways for you if you like. And then if you want to do it, great. If not, you always have it. You can call us down the road and say, hey, I want to go with option 12, and we'll have it.
All right, very good, Andy. Let's talk. We'll have more talk next week. So have a good week and stay warm, Andy Lindus.
You as well, Denny.
1-800-LEAF-GUARD.